And I'll tell you how we're all drawn away, loved one. It says by our own desires. Don't you ever, ever blame God to put any kind of temptation in your pathway. Every Christian is tempted, but we're not all tempted the same way.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for tuning in for Pastor Bill's study of the Epistle of James. The message today is titled, Don't Be Deceived About Temptation. Now, here's Pastor.
This morning, as we look at our text, I want to talk to you about that word, don't be deceived. And what I want to talk to you about this morning is not to be deceived about temptation. Very important word. Remember that I've introduced James to us, you know, the last previous studies. James is five incredible chapters. It's all about spiritual maturity. It's about growing up. And remember that James, he's like a drill sergeant, if you will. He just, one command after another, but it's not to harm us, but to enable us to do what God's called us to do. Amen? So we can measure our true spiritual maturity as we go through these five chapters. Remember now, it was written to the Jewish Christians. James, the first book in the New Testament written to the Jewish believers who had been scattered into the Gentile nations and who had undergone horrible Roman persecution, but also religious persecution as well. Now, remember, you know, that we all are going to face trials in our life. Amen? Okay, when we face a trial, we're commanded to count the trial all joy. And that's what we're to do. And the reason is that trials, they're a test, if you will. They test our faith. Remember in Hebrews when we studied chapter 10, 38 and 39 there, where God said the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, meaning to draw back from faith, my soul has no pleasure in them. And so we live by faith. We walk by faith. Amen? And it's impossible to please God without faith. So trials will always test our faith, but they're not meant to destroy us. They're always meant to promote us into more Christ-likeness into this life. Now when we come to temptations, that's different. Every believer, no matter who you are, no matter how much you pray, no matter if you know all 66 books of the Bible backwards and forwards, loved one, Christians will face temptations, and God doesn't tell us in this word to count them all joy, because a temptation is not joy. Amen? So we have to be careful. So trials, yes, we've learned they're to be endured, but temptations, as we're going to look at now, are to be resisted. They're to run from them, stay away from them. Now, before we get into our text, it's important to remember that to be tempted is not a sin. Jesus was tempted in the garden for us. Amen? He didn't sin. He's a sinless son of God. But to be tempted is not a sin, but to take the temptation and then carry it through into the act, then it becomes sin. So temptation is a battle cry, if you will, to resist it, to fight against it. We have an enemy. We have the world against us, the flesh. Our flesh is against us. And of course, the devil is against us as well. Billy Sunday said this. He said, temptation is the devil looking through the keyhole. Yielding is opening the door and inviting him in. That's a very good word. Amen? Now, so let's begin in verse 12. And let's not be deceived about temptation, because it's never far away, okay? He says, blessed, that word means happy, fortunate, to be envied, is the man or the person. Blessed is the man who endures, what? Temptations or trials as well. For when he has been approved, when he has been tested and it's genuine, and when he has gained the victory, he says he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So happy is the person, blessed is the person who stands his ground in a temptation or the trial, who endures, who just says, no, I'm going to remain firm in the face of temptations. Now listen, temptations do not make you happy. But the temptation has a voice, and it says if you take that temptation, it will make you happy. Do you understand? It'll do you good. You'll enjoy it, and so forth. And that's why the title of this sermon is Do Not Be Deceived About Temptation. So those that go through that and we overcome that, God, Jesus said, listen, I'm going to give you the crown of life, man. But that's not speaking of salvation. We're saved by grace. We're not saved by trials or temptations, right? So the crown of life, which is only mentioned here, and also in Revelation 2:10, is about those who are tested. Like it says there, you're going to be tested unto death. Be faithful unto death. You know, and they were going through all these trials and persecutions. And he says, and I will give you the crown of life. Now, the crown of life literally is the crown that is life. So it's speaking of course, eternal life. But it says there, it says the Lord has promised to those who trust him. Isn't that amazing? It didn't even say the word obey, but it used the word love. Why in the world, during a temptation or a trial, whatever, why would James use that word, that command, to love? It's because love is the only way you're ever going to obey the commands of God. Amen? Yeah, if not, then it's legalism. You see, we obey the Lord because we love the Lord. And obedience is a sign that we're doing what God wants. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 John 5:3, it says, this is love for God, that we obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. They're not going to weigh you down. Jesus said in John 14:15, he says, if you love me, he says, keep my commandments. Very, very important word, loved one. And then when we get to verse 13, watch this. He says, talking about temptations, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Don't ever be deceived. It literally, you could read it this way. Let not one single person, no matter who they are, ever think, ever believe, or rationalize it in their thinking that when they are tempted, it is God that's tempting, because God, he tempts no one. Amen? Matter of fact, that word is only here in the New Testament. It literally means incapable of being tempted. God solicits no person to ever do evil. Amen? Boy, that's important to always get into our heart. God, it says in 1 John 1:5, it tells us this is the message that we received of him, meaning Jesus, John writes. And he says that God is light. He's not a light, that God is light. And there is no darkness in him at all. God is perfect. He is thrice holy. There's no mixture. He is pure. Amen? Man, that's so important that we understand that he is light eternal. And guess what? Light eternal became visible, and his name is Jesus Christ. It says in John 14:9, Jesus said to Philip, you know, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What a glorious thing. The Bible tells us about Jesus, the light of the world, John 8:12. He says, he who follows after me shall never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So we know that God never be deceived. Does God test a believer? You better believe he does. All believers are tested. But God never tempts anyone to sin. Never blame God for that. Never blame God if you sin. Amen? Okay. Now, we live in a fallen world. And, you know, the world, have you ever noticed the world, it blames everybody for everything? I mean, think about it. You can even turn on the evening news and you can hear the world blaming God. Like, for example, a hurricane comes or the rivers, Mississippi is overflowing and washing away hundreds of homes and costing lives and so forth. And they call that an act of God. You've heard that a million times. It's just an act of God. No, it's an act of man. I mean, if you really have any knowledge of what we have done in just our nation to our rivers, have we re-engineered our rivers? Yeah. Oh, it's horrible. And how many, because of greed and because of the beauty of, say, the coast or the river and so forth, you go out there and they build thousands and thousands of homes on the floodplain, and then you have a 1,000-year event, a historic flood, right? And, well, it's an act of God. No, it's an act of man. They're stupid. Do you follow what I mean? We have to be careful. And we live in a world today where, you know, the mankind blames wrong behavior. And we're living in it right now. Wrong behavior, they blame it on genetics. And they're saying today, you know, if you really want to be fulfilled as a human being, you must obey your inner feelings. Well, if I, like I told the early service, I said, if I was going to obey my inner feelings, I would not be standing here right now. I would be back home in bed where a good pastor belongs. Amen? But I love you so much. Well, no. So, in other words, you know, however you feel. So today it's like your inner feelings. Be guided by your inner feelings. And if you know what? Create your own identity, even if it means erasing your true identity that you were born with. You follow what I mean? Now, those people are hurting. They really believe they should be guided by the inner. You know, the Bible says, he who trusts his own heart is a fool. Amen? Oh, you got to be so careful. Is the heart deceitful above everything else? That you can't go by what you feel, man. I'm telling you right now. No, or they say God made a mistake. God didn't make a mistake. God loves everyone and wants to help everyone and save everyone. And he proved it. Romans 5:8. It says, for God demonstrated, that word means proved, his own love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. For the ungodly. Now, so God loves all people. Now, the desire and the intent to shift blame to others for our behavior, our sin, whatever it might be. Do you know that's as old as the Garden of Eden? Do you know that goes all the way back to Adam? Let me give you the scripture. In Genesis 3:12, right before 12 started, of course, in verse 11, God asked Adam, he said, Adam, have you eaten of the tree that I commanded you not to eat of? And Adam goes, oh, Lord, forgive me. I'll tell you, I didn't. Did he do that? No, let me tell you what he did. He says, the woman, woe man, get it? The woman, he said, the woman you gave me to be with. Oh, she gave me of that tree and I ate it. And God said, oh, thank you, Adam. I understand everything now. Thank you for explaining that to me. No, listen, Adam, what did he do? He blames God. In other words, he could be saying it like this. I remember when I didn't have a scar in my side. I remember when you put me into that deep sleep. You took of my bone. I remember that. And look at her, Lord. You said it was not good for me to be alone. We could talk about that. Or he goes, you know, Lord, you gave her to me. And this is, remember, bone of my bone, flesh. She did it. She's the one who caused this. Or he could have said, oh, Lord, what kind of helpmate is this? What did Adam do? Well, he blamed God. He blamed Eve. Eve blamed the devil, but the devil, the serpent, he deceived her. Amen. You have to be very careful. Let me ask you a question, Christian. If you sin, I pray we don't sin. We don't want to sin. But if you do, who do you blame for that? Do you take responsibility for what you did? Or do you blame, well, it was this or that or that? That's why I did what I did. Don't do that. Don't. Not at all. We live in a sad, confused, toxic blame culture. They blame everything in the world on whatever. And I know the world is suffering. I know that they're hurting. But they blame God, you know, on their lifestyles. They say, well, listen, I grew up poor. Well, just because you grew up poor doesn't mean you have to stay poor, does it? No, but I mean, who are you going to blame for that? You know, my mama didn't like me. She didn't love me. My dog didn't even like me when I was growing up. My daddy didn't like me. Or, you know, I grew up and I was bullied in school. I'm a victim. No, you're not a victim. Listen to me now. You never become a victim until you start blaming others for whatever's happening to you. Do you understand? Boy, you don't want to live like that. In other words, let us never blame God. In bad times, in good times, in trials, in temptations, he will never tempt us. Amen? Now, listen to me. What makes a person who knows what to do right, do what they know is wrong? Only the Bible tells mankind the answer. No one else, only God. In Romans 5:12, it says this, therefore, just as one man's sin entered the world, meaning the human race, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all sinned. You know, Eve obeyed, and she was deceived, of course, but Eve obeyed one sentence from the devil. One sentence, and Adam ate too, and the whole world, everyone who has been born on this planet since then, has been born with a fallen nature. Amen? It's just amazing. And you know, people say, well, the reason I sinned was the devil. Oh, stop it. You know, don't blame the devil. You know, I can tell you right now, I don't need the devil to sin. You don't need the devil to sin. You know why? because I was born a sinner. Amen? Listen, every person that's ever been born on this planet, you don't have to teach them to lie, do you? Do you have to teach a person that's born to lie? Do you have to teach them to steal, to covet, or lust? Do you have to teach them to be lovers of self or lovers of pleasure? No. Do you have to teach them to be self-centered? No, they're already self-centered. You don't have to teach a little child, a little baby when they're born. Here, let me teach you how to lie now. When daddy comes home, I want you to tell him this lie. Well, how do you lie? No, they know how to lie. They know how to be selfish. You don't believe me? Go to the nursery and let those little ones come up. You take something out of their hand, they'll bite your cheek. That's love. That's called a love bite. Oh, listen, you have to understand those things. It's their nature. So listen, don't be deceived about temptation. No other in the world has this information. The Bible tells us that temptation, loved one, is a process, if you will, okay? So in here, James gives us seven stages, if you will, of temptation. Let's look at the beginning in verse 14. It says, but each one is tempted. How is he tempted? Well, when he's drawn away, how? Well, by his own desires. And what does he do? What happens? And enticed, okay? Notice the word each one. That means a temptation is universal. Doesn't matter if a person is saved. It doesn't matter if a person is lost. No person on the planet can escape from, of course, temptation. Some people tell me, well, when I really get spiritually mature, I'll never be tempted. No, that doesn't happen that way, loved one, believe me. Now watch this. When does it happen? It says when he is drawn away. It's only there in the New Testament. It's a metaphor, literally, like a hunting metaphor or fishing, okay? And I really like that because I just want to give you my example of that. When I think of this temptation, I want to use me as a fish and you as a fish. Is that okay? Okay, so because it's a fishing metaphor. Now, so I want you to imagine a big, fat, I mean juicy, wiggling, full of life worm on a hook. Man, you drop that big, fat, juicy worm right into the water, and all of a sudden there's the hook, but then comes the look, and the fish sees it, and he sees that helpless, fat, juicy worm. And I guess a fish's mouth can't water because they're in the water, but temptation begins with the eye, okay? And so that's what draws that fish away. What is it? It's his own desires. It's what's in your heart. It's what's in my heart. And so his own lust, he sees it, and man, he's enticed, and he looks at that fat, juicy worm that's wiggling, and it's just too much for him, and the fish takes the bait. Now listen, that's what temptation is, but sometimes you don't look at it as the bait. If you were the fish, would you have taken that fat, juicy worm if you knew that the bait was hiding something? What was the bait hiding? The hook. And what's the hook going to do? You're going to fry that fish the next morning. Do you understand? And that's what this is talking about. But listen to me. Do not be deceived about temptation. And I'll tell you how we're all drawn away, loved one. It says by our own desires. Don't you ever, ever blame God to put any kind of temptation in your pathway. Every Christian is tempted, but we're not all tempted the same way. This sin right here, this temptation may make this brother fall, but where it would never make this brother fall. Does that make sense? So temptations are unique in a way to each of us. J. Vernon McGee, who's home with the Lord, I love what he said. He was talking about temptation, and he tells a story of a little boy that was playing in the evening at his home, but he was in the pantry, and he had gotten down the cookie jar, and his mother called to him and said, Willie, not Billy, Willie. He said, Willie, what are you doing in the pantry? And he said, Mama, I'm fighting temptation. Now, I can understand that. Now, look at verse 15 there. He says, then when desire, meaning your desire, my desire, it says, when it's conceived, literally that word means when our desire has become now impregnated or pregnant, okay? Look what it does. It has something. It gives birth to what? To sin. Literally that word means it gives birth to all kinds of sin. And sin, when it is full grown, when it's finished, when it's finally matured, look what it does. It brings forth tremendous joy. the abundant life. No, it brings forth what? Death. Now listen carefully. Inward desire, that's wrong. When it is joined with outward temptation, if you do that, it says it gives birth. Now, let's not be deceived about that. I want you to think about this. We are capable, the believer, washed in the blood of Jesus, sealed with the Holy Spirit, because of temptation, if we take that bait, we are capable of birthing sin. Think about that. Not only that, we're capable of being pregnant with sin. And how is it conceived? Listen, it's conceived by our very own desire. And what is the temptation? What does it bring forth? It brings forth death. Our sin, we mix that together. It produces an offspring from sin. And that sin, that offspring is a killer. It causes death. Do you know that when you mix your desire with those things, nothing outside can make you fall until you get the inward desire and you join yourself to it? You're going to be in trouble. You have to beware of the bait, because bait of the temptation always does something. It hides the hook. The bait hides the hook, but it also hides you from seeing the consequences of that sin. And that's the dangerous part. You see, when we think about this, it brings forth death. There's only three kinds of death in the Bible. And the Bible's the only one that tells us what real death is. There's physical death. And that's the separation of the soul, our soul, from the body. So that is physical death. Then there's spiritual death. Ephesians 2:1, that if we're outside of Christ, we have physical life, but we have no spiritual life. So we are dead in trespasses and sins. And then the third form of death is what we call eternal death, which is being separated from God forever and ever and ever for all eternity, never being with the Lord. That's that eternal death. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, eternal death, forever separated from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Never be deceived, boy, about that bait, because the bait does something. You take that bait, but you just don't know the consequences after you take it. Remember when King David, when he numbered Israel, not a sin about really numbering Israel, because Moses did it and others did it as well. But it says in 1 Chronicles 21:1, now Satan stood up against Israel and he moved David, or literally he tempted David to number Israel. And so David sends out Joab. And Joab goes through all of Israel and Judah, 9 months and 20 days, scouting out all the mighty men of valor, who carries the sword, in other words. And so he finds 800,000 of Israel that carries the sword, 500,000 from Judah that carried the sword. Now listen, what was David doing? What was the bait? Well, it was pride. David said, well, I trust numbers now more than I trust God. And what did God do? For my knowledge, I think God is the only one to ever offered one person an option of punishment. And he tells David, he says, okay, David, you have sinned because of what you've done. And he says, do you want 7 years of famine? Do you want 3 years running from your enemies? In other words, war. Or do you want 3 days of the plague? And I'll talk about this in just a moment. But David would have never numbered Israel had he known that. Amen? Yeah. And you know how many people, what was it, 70,000 perished in the plague because of that. Now, Judas, what was the bait that Judas took? John 13:2. Remember when the devil filled his heart there in the upper room and he went out and he sold the Son of God, betrayed the Son of God for what? 30 pieces of silver. Why? Judas, the bait, Judas loved money. Now, let me read the first temptation to you from in the book of Genesis, okay? In Genesis 3:5, now it's the devil talking to Eve. He says, Eve, eat of that, you're not going to die. You'll not surely die. He says, for God knows that in the day you eat, your eyes will be open. See, Eve, you're kind of blind. God has kept you in the dark. He says, your eyes are going to be open. And not only that, listen, he said, you will be like God. And you love God. Well, that's what you want, to be like God.
Unfortunately, we're out of time for today. Pastor Bill will complete this message on tomorrow's program. And we hope you'll tune in once again. Thank you, as always, for listening with us. Have a wonderful day, and we'll look for you again tomorrow. So long, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.